Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Scioli listener.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Scioli podcast.
Just a programming note, Laura Trump will be here with me at 8:30 today. I'm very excited to talk to her. She's terrific. But some questions for you. Why are local governors such absolute grandstanders? They've made the problem worse. I will explain. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Scioli Show on Twitter at Rich Scioli and Facebook.com/Scioli Show. 855-839-1210 is our number. This is an hour of nonstop talk. I'm so grateful you're here every day, by the way. I can't tell you how much it means to me, to us, so thank you. First of all, I read a great piece over at Reason.com, my favorite libertarian site, from J.D. to Chile. He wrote, and this is a very, very key point, I think. You know, a lot of us are pointing out some different things. Like, for example, you know, I see this a lot. People bring up the flu versus COVID-19, and I've said it's not the same thing, so really, you should not compare. But here's something you can compare. Compare how this virus is acting in New York State versus, say, the middle of America, right? In other words, there are places where the virus is really, really bad, spreading, and there are places where it's not. And we are acting, once again, with a top-down solution for all of America that is not working. He wrote this great piece over there, which I think is terrific. Stop ignoring the different needs of rural areas and cities responding to COVID-19. A uniform national response risks doing more harm than good in a nation that's not uniform. He writes, as COVID-19 spreads across the country, it affects different places in different ways, with some of the starker contrasts being those between cities and rural areas. Ignoring those differences doesn't just paper over reality, it may exacerbate existing national political tensions. As I write this, New York City is the new epicenter for COVID-19 infections in the U.S. It's a center for international travel, drawing visitors and people from businesses all over the world. With a dynamic culture and a thriving economy, the city is also very densely populated, with over 8 million people concentrated, so that there are 27,000 of them per square mile. These factors make New York, the city where I was born, a prime incubator not just for ideas and property, but for new diseases. He continues, New York is far more crowded than any other major city in the United States. All of those people in such a small space appear to have helped the virus spread rapidly through packed subway trains, busy playgrounds, and hive-like apartment buildings. Fortunately, as befits a prosperous metropolis, New York City is also home to a long list of hospitals, many of them world-class. That doesn't mean they won't be overwhelmed. They're getting slammed with worse to come, but they're top-notch institutions with excellent personnel and resources. By contrast, Yavapai County, Arizona, where I live now, he writes, has a total population of around 232,000 people. In an area half, again, as large as Connecticut, with 26 of them per square mile, 26 people per square mile. Dispersed as they are, people in Yavapai County face less danger of infection than do the residents of urban areas. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean the place gets to sit out of the pandemic. COVID-19 is here, and my wife is masked and hoping for the best at her pediatric clinic every day, but it is less of an all-pervasive threat. Another difference is our medical infrastructure, a thinly populated area with resources to match. Yavapai County has the Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Verde Valley Medical Center, and a Veterans Affairs facility for a total of fewer than 400 beds, which is to say, like other rural areas, Yavapai County offers a lower risk of contagion but very limited capacity for helping those who do contract COVID-19. Looking at the characteristics of those very different worlds and having lived in both, it's difficult for me to imagine pandemic approaches that make equal sense for places where exposure to others is inherent in existing in an apartment, as well as those where social distancing in life as usual. The urban-rural difference is reflected in people's views of the pandemic. Now, this is, again, J.D. Tuccilli writing this for Reason.com, the stop ignoring the different needs of rural areas and cities responding to COVID-19. I think the point is that, and this is a good point, all around us, we're seeing restaurants close, we're seeing businesses close, and yet in a lot of these areas, there's no cases of the coronavirus, or the cases are very, very limited. And what we're told is if we don't close these things, then everybody in those areas is going to get it. But that may not be true because not everybody there has it. In other words, unless you introduce somebody into the population that has it, we're not going to get it. So the better approach might be to literally quarantine New York City. Like, in other words, you say, shut the bridges and the tunnels to New York City. Nobody gets out. Right? I mean, North Jersey has a major problem. South Jersey does not. But I was reading yesterday, there's a wonderful bed and breakfast in Maryland Haven Harbor. It's on the Chesapeake Bay. We love going there. And I got an email from them yesterday. They're reopened. Right? The governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, has said they can reopen now. However, they are not accepting visitors from New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut. And I said to Bridget last night, I said, New Jersey, why? We don't have a major problem down here. I mean, there are cases in Burlington County, for example, but it's like 25 or something like that. But in North Jersey, it's a mess up there. So why can't we figure out a way to quarantine those counties? You know, why can't we figure out a way to say we're shutting down the New Jersey Turnpike and the Garden State Parkway, so you can't go to those areas, and we're isolating those areas. But instead, as far as I know, unless I'm wrong, I could go to New York City today. Somebody from New York City today could come to Burlington County and go to ShopRite. Does that make sense to anybody? So instead of this top-down approach of every single place in America has to be closed, why not look at it from the perspective of this is a rural area. As long as we just don't let people infiltrate the area, we're probably going to be okay. And I'll tell you one of the reasons, by the way, political correctness. If you go back to January when people like Councilwoman Helen Gim and Mayor Jim Kenney and Mayor Bill de Blasio were telling everybody it's racist to be afraid of the coronavirus. You remember this? Come to our Chinese New Year parties. Come to our Chinese New Year parades. Come to Chinatown. Show your woke virtue signal by coming to these areas and hanging out with Chinese people to show you're not a racist. And the commissioner of health of Philadelphia, who used to be the commissioner of health in New York, Farley, this guy's a jerk, he came out and said, the flu is far worse than coronavirus, kills far more people. There's nothing to be afraid of. You remember all that, right? Jim Kenney went down, the mayor went down, had shrimp dumplings in Chinatown. Media made said the gushing about it. Oh, he had dumplings. That was what we were told. De Blasio in February telling people, I'm not going to allow racism to infect our city. I'm going to go and party with the Chinese people. This is Trump's xenophobia. We're not going to let people do it. The hashtags, I'm not a virus, blah, 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 blah. Part of the reason why they've shut everything down is political correctness. Because if we actually had the courage to say, the areas that are getting hardest hit have large Chinese populations because they've traveled to and from the infected areas. What China did in part of the lie, and if you heard my interview yesterday with Congressman Guy Reschenthaler, if you missed it, it's podcast for you, and Guy Reschenthaler is terrific. And again, I want to make this point very, very clear. I am not I'm not anti-Chinese people. I happen to love Chinese food. In fact, Joe's Peking Duck in Marlton is, I think, one of the greatest Chinese restaurants I've ever had in my life. And I can't wait to go back there as soon as this nonsense is over. I can't wait to go back there. I love that place. Their Peking Duck is amazing. And I love going to Chinatown in Philadelphia. In fact, in our old studio, 400 Market, I'd walk up there and get dumplings all the time. But let's be honest. There's an outbreak in Wuhan, China at these friggin' wet markets. The new political correctness now is you can't say wet markets. I actually had tip to my buddy Johnny on Twitter who sent this to me. The new woke is now, wet markets is now a dog whistle. So if you say wet markets, it's now it's the white, colonial, European male, cisgender, heteronormative male way of being racist towards Chinese people. Wet markets are these filthy markets they have in China. Not all of them are filthy, but the ones, the problem ones are, they're in rural areas where they have things like bats for sale and pangolins for sale, and they're disgusting. And they need to end, and this is part of the problem of why we have the Wuhan coronavirus, because probably somebody touched a raw dead bat and didn't wash their hands and got everybody sick, and that's the truth. Or a raw dead pangolin and got everybody sick, and that's the truth. And we don't want to admit that because it's somehow now racist, but that's the truth. And so because of that fact, and the Chinese government lied, and people from Wuhan were allowed to come and go, and China had this gigantic New Year's festival, and they commingled and the virus spread throughout the country. So even though we shut down travel to and from the affected areas, it didn't help because people were coming from all over. So then people that lived in concentrated areas like Chinatown or New York City came and went from China. And just like in northern Italy and Milan, where there's a large Chinese population, they came and went to China. And we weren't screening them, and so they were spreading the virus. They came back with the virus because they didn't know. They didn't know. I'm not blaming them. They didn't know because their government was lying to them. Yeah, look, the Chinese people who in the United States of America who went to visit their family in China did not know they were going to get infected with a virus because their government, the Chinese government, never told them. They didn't tell anybody. They were lying. They were covering it up. So here we are now with this top-down approach of everything has to get shut down. Why? Governor Phil Murphy, Governor Andrew Cuomo, Governor Tom Wolf, the governor of Delaware, all these governors, spent more time telling you and me, de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, Mayor Jim Kenney, telling you and me, don't be racist, go and enjoy Chinese food, than they did planning for what would happen if the coronavirus hit our area. And so because of that virtue signaling wokeness, they had no plan in place. And because there's no plan in place, we have to shut everything down. And now that there's a major outbreak in North Jersey, where you had larger populations of Chinese people, and we can't say that because somehow that's racist, and I don't understand why. If this had been an outbreak in Italy, but it started there, we said that, you know, there's a large population of Italian people. I don't know why suddenly now it's racist to bring up China. China is the largest population in the world, and it's a very advanced economy. And we owe so much money to them. I don't know why suddenly now this victim mentality has come out. Why the left pushes that, I don't really get it, other than I guess they sympathize with the communist regime. I don't get that. But this top-down approach doesn't work. And so we have places like this county where I'm in, Burlington County, and other places, Salem County, other thing. Those restaurants are shut down too. Why? There's, I believe, one or two cases in Salem County. There's a handful of cases. This is the problem of the top-down approach. And if we are going to change anything, we may want to start with that. We may want to think about that, of figuring out where the hot zones are, so to speak, and then locking down the hot zones. You know, Bergen County, New Jersey is a mess with this. It's a mess. So why don't we just say nobody goes in or out of Bergen County, New Jersey, instead of the entire state gets shut down? Right? I mean, there are rural parts of this country where there's no virus. The argument we're told is that we have to shut everything down because the virus will come there. But that's not true. If nobody in that town has the virus is not going to come there unless somebody comes to that town. So the answer is not shutting the businesses in the town. The answer is what? Just don't let people come to the town. And how do you do that? Very simple. You just say to people that just don't come to our town. That's all you do. That is very simple. I mean, imagine this. Imagine if a business was open and to get inside the business, you had to show your ID and show you lived in the town. And you had to prove to, answer this question. Have you been to any of the affected areas, New York City, Bergen County, or any other places in the last week? Yes? Sorry, can't come in. Can we take your temperature? Why can't we do stuff like that? I'm 100% serious. Why can't we do stuff like that? Why can't we? You got places in this state where the cases are very, very small. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, too, Delaware, very minor cases. And these restaurants are dying, and these bars are dying. Why can't a pub owner say, "We're going to open only to restaurants in our town, only to customers in our town"? We see your ID. You got to prove you live here. I mean, I got to prove to get a library book. I got to prove I live in the town, right? Or a resident of the county. I got to prove that. Prove you live here. We're going to take your temperature. We're going to ask a couple questions when you get here. How do you feel? Have you been to New York City, Bergen County, New Jersey, or any of these other affected places? Have you traveled outside the country? You know, the standard questions you get at a doctor's office. No? Come on in. The answer, of course, as you know, is political correctness. There is no earthly reason why we couldn't do what I just outlined to you. There are rural places in this country that have zero cases of the virus, and yet they don't have restaurants and bars open either, they don't have small businesses open either, and they have no chance of getting the virus unless somebody from an infected area comes to their towns. And nobody from an infected area will come to their towns if we're smart enough to figure out a way to keep the infected areas isolated from the non-infected areas.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. That's all I got. I'll see you tomorrow.
Stop.
That's not all. No, come on.
I am out. Tapping out.
We have an hour and 10 minutes left.
Nope. You and Dawn have an hour and 10 minutes left. I am out. Hang on. I'm going to play with my settings here. I got to touch my thingy here.
The settings.
Are you feeling any?
That sounds better.
Are you feeling any better from this morning?
No. I feel terrible. My migraine hurts. I want to drink something alcoholic, but I took that acetaminophen stuff, so I can't do that.
Yeah, you can't. It's too tough on your kidneys and your liver.
I know. I got a nice email from somebody in Florida who wants to help me. She offered to help to be my migraine coach. The problem is, if you're new, if you just joined the show, I had this horrible Nissin cup of noodles. Spicy chili chicken flavor. Oh, ramen noodles.
For those just joining us, because people may not have been with us at 5:55 this morning, can you tell us again what's in that?
Sure, Greg. I'll be happy to read the ingredients here. Here we go. Enriched flour. So let me give the backstory first of all. I was feeling very optimistic yesterday about things. The stock market was up. President sounds very positive about this Easter, you know, reopening parts of the economy by Easter. I was just feeling really good. So I said, I'm going to go to the garage and open up our end of the world food stash, because after I was making fun of all the end of the world people, you know, the preppers, yeah. I felt bad because I was making fun of them for all these years. And then they said, aha, Rich told you, if you're a prepper, you don't have to worry about being online in the grocery store during something like this. Right. So now I have joined the ranks of the preppers, and in my garage now I've got soup and all this other crap. So when I was buying this stuff for the end of the world, I saw on the shelf the Nissin cup of noodles, the ramen noodles from college. You remember those, right?
Yes, they're nasty.
Greg, you definitely ate those in college, right?
100%.
100%.
Yes.
Bill, did you eat them in college? 100%, right?
Absolutely. That's all I lived on.
I know at Penn State you definitely ate these.
Yeah, that's all we could do. Room and board was crazy, so that's what we resorted to.
Now, so as I'm shopping for the end of the world and I'm loading up soup, Dinty Moore beef stew and all this stuff, and I'm putting it in the carts and everything like this, so I stock it all up, right? Now, yesterday I feel optimistic. I go, I'm going to go into the end of the world cabinet and get some of the end of the world food. I'm going to make it because I don't think we're going to have the end of the world. I think we're going to be fine. So I'm going to start eating some of that stuff. I grab the cup of noodles and I make it and I eat it. And then an hour later, my head hurts so bad that I feel like I'm going to die. And I say, I'm going to die. What happened? And I realize it's because I ate a soup thing that contains the following ingredients. Ready? Enriched flour, wheat flour, niacin, reduced iron, thiamine. Reduced iron, by the way, is an actual ingredient. Reduced iron.
Which means, I mean, everything in there is processed. Every single thing.
No, every single thing in this thing.
This is
how they make nuclear missiles, I believe. Thiamine monatrite, riboflavin, folic acid, palm oil, salt. Contains less than 2% of autolyzed yeast extract, caramel color, citric acid, dextrose, disodium guanylate, disodium inositate, disodium succinate, dried corn, dried onion flake, dried red bell pepper, egg white, garlic powder, ground habanero pepper. That's pretty good. Hydrolyzed corn protein, hydrolyzed soy protein, lactose, maltodextrin, natural and artificial flavor, onion powder, potassium carbonate, powdered chicken. Rendered chicken fat. Rendered? What the hell does that mean? Sodium silicon dioxide, sodium alginate, sodium carbonate, sodium triphosphate, soybean, spice and color, sugar, TBHQ, textured soy protein, wheat. And my sodium, 1,280 milligrams of sodium. 55% of your daily intake is sodium in one of these cup of noodles. So my point is this. If the world does end, like if there's a nuclear war or there's a zombie outbreak, then eat this. Otherwise, don't eat. Or if you're in college, because if you're in college, you can eat this fine. Otherwise, your body's going to react. This is a novel. Like the coronavirus is novel. Your body doesn't know how to react to it. This is a novel soup. Your body goes, what the hell do I do with this? So I learned my lesson, Dawn.
Good. Oh. Don't eat that anymore.
And everybody on Twitter was like, why do you not listen to Dawn? Dawn would never let you eat that. No. Why don't you listen to her?
Just, you know, throw all that out.
Well, I know. I need to keep it out of the garage. I need to keep it because you understand now that that I'm really of the mindset that you've got to be able to survive if there's a nuclear war. So I'm just keeping it in my cabinets, you know, keeping it in my cabinets right there. All right, let's see now. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210 is the number. Let us see now. The president yesterday had a briefing. Trump and Mnuchin were discussing the coronavirus relief and how they're going to take care of the American worker. Cut number 8.
Do you have a question? Yes.
How long do you think this bill will keep the economy afloat? Hopefully a long time.
You know, we'll see. We have to go back. We're going to take care of the American worker. We're going to take care of these companies that fuel this country and make the country great. It's not their fault. But we think...
We'd anticipated 3 months. Hopefully we won't need this for 3 months. Hopefully this war will be won quicker. But we expect that this is a significant amount of money, if needed, to cover the economy.
It is a significant amount of money, $2 trillion, no doubt. The president said, I want to thank the American people. Cut number 9.
I want to thank the American people for answering the call, following our guidelines, and making the sacrifices required to overcome this terrible threat more aggressively. We commit to social distancing. So important. Social distancing, such an important phrase. And we do it right now. The more lives we can save and the sooner we can eventually get people back to work, back to school, and back to normal.
Yeah, he's exactly right. I want to thank Yim Yames on Twitter as I check in. Thanks to Cherry Hill Volvo, our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, for this social media check-in. Yim Yames on Twitter. Bill de Blasio was doubling down less than 2 weeks ago, March 10th. We cannot shut down because of undue fear. I would advise against these mass closures when we're keeping this situation relatively contained. March 11th, Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, said, look, we're also telling people to not avoid restaurants, not avoid, you know, the normal things they would do. This does not transmit through food or drink, so people should go out and continue to live life, should go out to restaurants. Remember, it was the end of February that Jim Kenney, the mayor of Philadelphia, went out to Chinatown and had dumplings. Let's see. Talking Real Knowledge says, Rich needs to go home. His headache has hindered his thinking. Now we have the libertarian restricting travel neighborhood to neighborhood, county to county, state to state. No, listen, man, it's the opposite of that. If we have an outbreak in an area, you limit people from leaving the area versus telling every single person in America they can't leave their house. What I'm telling is a common sense solution here. Right now, everybody in America is being told you have to stay in your house. versus we recognize there are outbreak areas and we treat that like a hot zone and we say to those areas, you can't leave those areas. You can't go into those areas. Right now, every single person in America, for the most part, is being told, stay in your home. That makes no sense. There are people being told to stay in their home, and there's no, but their neighbors don't have the virus. I can't go hang out with my neighbors across the street, but they don't have the coronavirus. Why can't I hang out with my neighbors? This is what I mean. The top-down, politically correct, stupid approach doesn't work. I am giving the libertarian approach. Libertarian approach is you find areas where people are sick and you cordon off those areas for 2 weeks, let the people recover, and then you open everything back up. But let's stop acting like everybody in America has it or everybody in America can just get it by touching somebody across the street. I can walk outside right now, bump into my neighbor. I'm not getting the coronavirus because he doesn't have it unless he's been to an area where there's the coronavirus. You don't just get it. It doesn't magically come in the air. You have to come in contact with somebody. And we know the areas now where the coronavirus is. So if you don't go to those areas, if you haven't been to those areas, you probably don't have it. So avoid those areas. And the rest of the other areas should open back up as soon as humanly possible. My God, I'm literally advocating freedom and opening up the markets again as soon as possible. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I know people are very, very slow because you know what they do most of the time? They don't listen with their ears. No, they're too busy tweeting in the middle of what I'm saying. They can't hear, but that's okay. What's that, Greg?
No, I'm just, you know, there's always one tweet that's going to set you off. And I never know which one it's going to be. And it seems to be this gentleman.
It's amazing. I'm in the middle of, this happens all the time. I'll be in the middle of a monologue and somebody's tweeting in the middle of the monologue and they'll make a point that I make 30 seconds later. And I'm always thinking to myself, why don't you just wait and listen to what the hell I'm saying versus tweeting me?
Do you go around with a clipboard and how do you question the neighbors to find out like who they've been with, where they've been?
I know that's a good point, right?
See? Got to do like a neighborhood poll, like a canvassing.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Raise your hand if you've been to New York City. No. All right. You're probably good. Have you been to Bergen County, New Jersey? No, you're probably good. I mean, really, how many people, do you have the numbers? How many people in Bergen County have the virus right now? Do you know by chance?
North Jersey, obviously.
Major outbreak, right?
Major, yeah.
Bergen County is 819 positive.
How many people in Salem County have it?
Salem County is one.
One person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see my point?
There's three in Cumberland County, four in Cape May County, nine in Atlantic County.
Okay, so there's one person in Salem County that has it. Now, it's obvious that they may give it to their husband/brother, but my point would be...
Stop.
I'm sorry. You know I love you, Salem County. I do. I love you, Salem County. I'm just making the point. But wait, I got to go to my call screen. Hang on. But you realize now, my point is that why are we closing every business in Salem County if one person has it?
Well, I think, truthfully, I'm going to be honest. Because people were idiots. There are just enough people, a few, who went out and just spread this thing. And the vast majority are following the rules and staying 6 feet apart and being totally responsible. It only takes a few dingbats to ruin it for everybody. And they don't want to spread it. So,
did you say dingbats?
Dingbats.
I love that.
It's my dad's.
Knuckleheads.
I do. I love you. Every day I love you more and more. You know that?
More and more.
Every day. Dingbats. Like Archie Bunker.
I know. That's my dad. My dad said that to me. He goes, just a few dingbats.
Oh, my God.
Forced us all, you know.
How great is dingbats?
I know. My dad has the best words.
Oh, man. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Let me try this now. Joe is in Chester County. Joe, good morning.
Oh, hi, Rich. I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
And relating to what you said about shutting down, I mean, like your Governor Murphy said, I'm going to fight for every life and so forth. And we are saving lives, but... Every year, and I know you're not supposed to compare the coronavirus to the flu, but in this sense you can. It kills a lot of people, tens of thousands. And we would save a lot of lives if we took these same measures, restrictive measures, the isolation and the shutdown, but we don't. We don't do it because it would be worse than the flu, even though the flu is killing a lot of people. We got used to the flu. We don't even make everyone get a vaccine. I mean, there's vaccines every year, and we don't even require that people get them when they should. So we don't do it for that. And you're right, we shouldn't do it to everyone in this country. We should do it, you know, in sections, in, you know, the hot spots and so forth, like you said.
Yes, the reason why we don't have to deal with the flu is because we know how to handle the flu, and the flu, as bad as it is, with some, doesn't
but it
overwhelm.
Still killed a lot of people.
Right, but it doesn't.
No, I'm just saying, if we did do these measures, it would save lives. But we know it's not necessary to do.
Correct. You're 100% right.
Okay, you're right.
The difference is they're doing this not to save lives per se, although that's a goal. It's to avoid the overwhelm. The hospitals can't handle it. The flu never causes a situation where the hospitals can't handle it. That's the difference.
Well, right. But you know, I just meant that there's still a lot of people, that, including kids.
Absolutely.
Now, this doesn't affect the children so much, but, you know.
Yeah, look, your point works for everything, right? I mean, if we wanted to save lives, we could ban cars. We could ban, I mean, think of how many, ban swimming pools. Like, if we wanted to save lives, we could ban so many things, or if that was the goal. You're 100% right on that point. I think that people just forget, though, with this virus, it's not just about saving lives. The bigger problem is everyone getting sick at once, the hospitals don't have enough beds, and the system just crashes. That's the problem, not the deaths. You know, that's the difference right there.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Well, can I say one thing more?
Sure.
Yeah. You were speaking about your children, right, and the five-year-old. Well, we take care of our five-year-old grandson and our one-and-a-half-year-old granddaughter, from my daughter, who's a teacher, so she's just off from school, and her husband's allowed to work out of home now. But they don't, you know, as you said, even the five-year-old, and we love him, and he's smart, but he doesn't understand this. He doesn't understand why he can't see us, because my daughter won't let them near us now, right?
Yeah.
We
yeah.
can't see our grandchildren because she's afraid they'll make me sick. I'm 72. She said, Dad, you're a high risk. They're going to make you sick. Well, my Italian grandparents, and they were right from Italy. They were immigrants from as young adults. They would never have accepted. They would have been at our door saying, hey, we want to see the kids, right?
Yeah. You know, I actually read a story the other day. I actually read a story the other day that in Italy, part of the problem with the virus is exactly what you just said, because we are Italians and family is so important for us, and they all live together, a lot of them. Part of the reason why the virus spread so much in Italy is exactly what you just said, the closeness of family.
Yeah. All right.
Well, listen, Paisan, I know how hard it is to not be able to see your grandkids. I'm sure I can hear the pain in your voice.
Oh, we understand it. We understand it. So we don't argue with them.
I know, but I can feel the pain in your heart. So I hope this improves, and hang in there, okay, Joe?
There's one humorous thing, Rich.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, about this, the stimulus package, which is great. You know, my wife and I are going to, you know, supposedly get $2,400. My daughter and son-in-law with the kids, you know, and I mentioned they're going to get like $3,400. But I remember what a comedian, I can't remember who it was, said, you know, it could have been many years ago, right, talking about government spending. And I think he used the term billions or something. Now it would be trillions. So he would say, you know, now you would say what he, you know, to paraphrase what he said. He said, hey, a few trillion here, a few trillion there. And pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Right.
Right.
Thank you, Joe. I like it. Listen, buddy, have a great day. I appreciate it.
Great show. All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe.
Do the FaceTiming with the grandkids.
I know. That's what you got to do. Listen, Mom Azioli is a mess right now. You know what I mean? I feel bad for her. Because, you know, she's worried about not being able to see her granddaughter. So...
Well, you'll do. I mean, thank goodness for all the technology. You get, you know, just do a lot of FaceTiming.
That's it. You got to do the FaceTiming, right?
By the way,
that's what you got to do.
You do. By the way, you know, he did bring up a good point, because in addition to this pandemic, we have this, you know, historic influenza season. So it's killed 20,000 people so far, according to the CDC's latest numbers.
Yeah.
So influenza A, H1N1, that's still going around. We are on a high alert right now for our region. So another reason is social distance. You know, you could get both. You could get flu and or COVID. You're probably more likely to get the flu at this point in lower risk regions for COVID-19, quite frankly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I got to find this note that I sent to my friend in the West Wing. I got to find this. Here's what I wanted them to know, because I actually, despite what that dean at Temple said about me, I've been advocating for our area a lot with the White House, and I let them know this. I did a study. There is a potential. We have in our region of South Jersey and Philadelphia 1.75 million people. There are 5,689 hospital beds, more than half of which are usually occupied. So the problem is, if everybody gets the coronavirus at once and people get really sick, and you could look at a bed shortage of about 85,000 beds short. That's the problem. It's not the deaths. It spreads so quickly. Hospitals don't have a lot of beds. The business model of a hospital is not to keep open beds on the off chance there's a pandemic, right? The business model of a hospital is have a bed, fill that bed, and charge for that bed. That's how they make money. And so people forget that. They make money because people come in for heart attacks, births of a child, cancer, elective surgeries, all the other things. They don't make money by having an empty building with beds for the future pandemic. And that's really the problem right there, you know?
Yeah.
855-839-1210. Let's see. Sean sent me a note. Bethany Beach is packed with people from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, etc. It's an area not busy in March. Supposedly a real estate agent emailed people in these states and offered many rentals in Bethany to escape. They thought they would have more freedom in Delaware. Last week, there were so many people on the beach that Governor Carney closed the beaches to the locals. People are furious that our most vulnerable retirement communities, are being exposed to people from hotspots due to this dingbat real estate agent.
Dingbat.
Okay, dingbat. There you go. All right, so I have a question. Wouldn't it have been a better approach then to say, we're going to close Bethany Beach and only locals can go to our beaches?
Yes.
Right? Wouldn't that have been a better approach?
Yes.
Instead of everybody can't go anywhere ever, we're just going to say our area is closed to just our residents until this is over.
Right.
And if anybody in our town has been to New York or China or anywhere else, will you please self-isolate for 14 days? Because I have a feeling like friends and neighbors would gladly do that on their own. This is why I'm telling you, I've said this now every day. I'm going to say it again. If these governors had a plan, wouldn't this have been a great plan? Wouldn't this have been a good plan to say, we'll figure out where the hotspots are going to be. We'll close off those hotspots. And in the other places, we'll close them off to only those communities. So, for example, say Cinnamon's in New Jersey, close to where I live. It's open for business, as long as nobody there has been to the hot spots. And if they have, we're going to ask the residents to please voluntarily contain themselves, confine themselves for 14 days. I'm sure they'll go along with it because they're good people. And if it spreads, it spreads. We'll reevaluate. But the problem is they don't think we're smart enough or adult enough to do that on their own. And that's the problem. And so they act like we're freaking kids and tell us to stay in our homes because they don't trust us enough. These Democrat governors, they don't think we're mature enough and adult enough to do that on our own. And that's what makes me so mad. That's what makes me so mad is that they could have just said, look, not everybody's going to get this virus because it's in areas. It's in pockets. Like everything else, it's in pockets of places. So if you've been to that pocket of places, if you've been there, please self-isolate for 14 days. But in the meantime, Bethany Beach is open for people who live in Bethany Beach. Rehoboth is open to people who live in Rehoboth. And eventually, we'll open this up to everybody, but for now. Right now, I know that people got mad about Wildwood closing off to everybody, and I was too at first, but now I understand their point. Because if they were allowed to be open to just Wildwood residents, that would have made sense. The problem is Wildwood's closed to everybody else, but also closed to Wildwood. And you see, that's a problem right there. The plan should have been, we're going to let communities basically run themselves. So like the mayor of a town could say, we're open for business. We're asking residents, please Let everybody know if you've been anywhere, if you feel sick, stay in your home for 14 days. Otherwise, we're open for business. But if you, but we're not going to let people come in. So we're going to say bars, restaurants, public places, you have to show ID, prove you're a resident, and we're going to ask you those questions. Have you been to New York? Have you been to China? Have you been? Phil Murphy, Andrew Cuomo, Jay Carney, Tom Wolf, Bill de Blasio, Jim Kenney, none of these guys planned for this. And because it's politically incorrect to say that there are certain areas that have high populations of Chinese people and Chinese people traveled to China and brought back the Wuhan virus, it's politically incorrect to say that. So they won't say that. They won't recognize hotspots. Hotspots where you have large populations of Chinese people, they'll say it's racist to do so, so they'll just shut everything down. This is a, we are a victim, once again, of virtue signaling political correctness. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. My blood pressure is up, and I think it's because of the friggin' soup, the ramen soup, and also this.
He's puffy, he's stop bloated.
Eating, yeah. Stop eating the ramen soup.
I'm sorry. Let me go to Linda in Downingtown. Hello, Linda. Good morning.
Hey, Rich. First of all, one quick tip. That soup is awesome. Don't put all the packet into it, and then you'll cut out a lot of the salt. It's the spices, the spice pack that has all the salt in it, not necessarily the noodles. That's the first tip.
No, it was
tip.
All the in. Second, the one I got was all in, the whole
oh,
thing.
Was
I
just, it?
Yeah, I put water in it and covered the top and then ate it 3 minutes later.
Okay, that's different than the stuff at the dollar store. But what I wanted to say is your idea is totally spot on, because in like a natural disaster like tornadoes or, you know, those types of things, the areas get closed off to the looky-loos, and only local residents are allowed to come back into their homes, you know, get their belongings. So what you're suggesting, we already do, and I would like to believe that it would be easy to implement it. You know, so I think your idea is totally spot on. So I just wanted to say thanks for putting that out there.
You're welcome, Linda. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Jack is in Northeast Philly. Jack, good morning.
Hello?
Yes. Hi, Jack.
Hi. The reason I'm calling is because I had a prediction. And before I make the prediction, I actually wanted to say that I appreciate how serious this is, and I follow all the rules myself, so I do all that. But the other day, I felt kind of ashamed of myself. And the reason I did is because all these years, I didn't buy into the global warming and this kind of stuff, the paranoia about it. And I realized I'm in a county with like two people who have it, and I was in a store wearing gloves and a mask, and I'm like, this, I've fallen for it. I've actually gone through the rabbit hole. This is what it's like, must be, for someone to believe in global warming. So what I think is this, my prediction would be that kind of after the election time, this will all start to peter out. And I'm not saying people are doing all of this specifically for the election, but this overreach you're talking about, the cure for it seems to be shutting down the economy. And that, to me, seems to be the cure for everything with global warming. What is the cure? Don't drill that oil. Don't build that factory. Don't have that baby. Shut down the economy. Well, what's the cure for what's all the excesses of this pandemic? Close that store. Don't open this. It's shutting down the economy. It's coming from a similar place.
It's an excellent observation, actually. I can't disagree with you. It's an excellent observation. So good for you.
Hey, thanks, and I love your show. Blessings.
Oh, but Jack, by the way, how old are you, Jack?
I sound young. I'm in my 40s. I'm in my low 40s, but I'm a young 40s.
Now, you mentioned you fell for it. You, where do you live, by the way? You said Northeast Philly. You walked in. You had the gloves and the mat. Do you have a wife and kids?
Well, now I'm in South Jersey, but I do have. Well, yeah, my kids live across the country at this point, but.
So South Jersey was where you put the gloves and the mask and fell for it and went into the store?
Yeah, and I saw a county-by-county list the next day, and I'm like, there's like 30 people in my county. Like, I have parents. I want them to be safe. I support what you're saying, areas. But me, why am I standing in a store like this? I actually said, this is what it must be like to believe in global warming. Like, I'm all in. And look at me.
Yeah, you know what? It's an excellent observation you made, really. Good stuff, man. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much. Bob is in Florida. Bob, hey, bud. How you doing?
Hey, Rich. Yeah, I was calling your first hour. This you're talking about that stimulus, and like my wife and I would both qualify. We make under $75,000, but my thing is like we're still working. My wife works from home. She's got a home office. The company I work for has been deemed essential, so we're gonna still be working. But my son manages a furniture store. And so he was told this week that it's going to close, and he's just over that threshold. So his store's closed. His few employees, of course, they'll qualify, but my son won't qualify. He's got a mortgage. He's got a child on the way. You know, so my company's taking care of it. They've offered some great stuff while we're working. And you know, it's that thing. It's why people over a certain amount. Why are we just taking care of those who make under and not taking into consideration people whose stores are closing or managers or owners.
100% right. Absolutely. The idea that we're just putting an income limit on is so stupid. Thank you for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. It's exactly right. It is. Yeah, thank you. 100%. We max out the income of where you can receive relief. It doesn't make sense. Those people are hurting too. And besides, this is not supposed to be welfare. It's supposed to be stimulus money you get to put back in the economy. I completely disagree with that. And a lot of this bill has bailout money for the MTA in New York City and all these other things. It really annoys me. But I have to mention this point before I go to Dawn for news. Do you remember New York Stinks?
Yes.
Of course.
The hand gel that...
Hand sanitizer.
The LoveGov said the inmates were making.
A far superior product.
Yes.
New York Stinks. Well, it turns out Cuomo's prison workers say they're not actually making hand sanitizer. Inmates told Vice that they're really just putting a mysterious vendor's existing product in New York State clean bottles. They called it New York Clean. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced this measure on March 9th to fight this egregious price gouging. He said, we are problem solvers, and we're going to have New York Clean branded sanitizer, a far superior product, and it's going to be many different. Remember, we had floral was one of the scents. Chrysanthemum.
Yes.
Remember
that? Floral bouquet.
Floral.
A little I detected lilac.
I love the lilac. I have Hudson River is one of the Rikers Island, one of the scents. Well, it turns out Cuomo's prison workers say they're not actually making hand sanitizer. Isn't that something, Greg? Isn't that amazing?
What?
Yeah. They're actually at the Great Meadow Correctional Facility in Comstock, New York, where the hand sanitizer is being, quote unquote, made.
No.
They are doing nothing more than taking existing hand sanitizer and rebottling it. What, as New York State clean.
That's not what he said at all.
No. And remember he bragged that it was a superior product due to its high alcohol content?
Far
superior. Right.
Yes.
A far superior product. And he joked that it even had floral scented like tulips and hydrangeas and touted that its price was a major upside. He said, this is also much less expensive than anything the government could buy. He said the hand sanitizer would be produced by CoreCraft, the public-facing brand name of the New York State Department of Corrections. But according to the spokesman of the prisons, the hand sanitizer itself is being produced by an outside vendor. And they're sending it to the prison, and the prison is basically now just rebottling it as New York Stinks.
Well, that's not...
Right?
That's the opposite of what he said.
Literally.
Yes.
So I want to know, who is this vendor? How much money did he give Cuomo to get, you know what I mean, to get his hand sanitizer now to become New York Stinks?
The Don Cuomo.
And, Dawn, you mentioned how people were outraged because he's using prisoners as basically slaves, right?
There were, there were civil rights groups who actually were filing, you know, legal briefs on this.
Well, the New York State Clean brand hand sanitizer is cheap because prison labor is cheap. Michael and his fellow workers, these are some of the inmates, say, we're completely overworked, we're exhausted, they treat us like crap, use the S word. Michael and his fellow workers were all moved to a single block and work 8-hour shifts 6 days a week. Inmates who work non-day shifts are still expected to adhere to the prison's regular daytime schedule. Late-night shower excursions that keep workers from getting more than 4 hours of sleep a night. Dinner served in the workshop at 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. Unwanted disruptions to the routine that shapes so much of life while incarcerated. We don't have much time to do anything. No time at all. We literally, our complete day is booked all the way. All day making New York stinks hand sanitizer. A far superior product.
If you continue the price gouging, we will introduce our product, which is superior to your product. And you don't even have the floral bouquet.
The floral bouquet.
This one is Staten Island dump.
No, it's terrible.
This one is fresh kill landfill scent. I love this one. Here's a quick clip of Cuomo, the love gov now. Cut two, the talking points of the Democrats when the president tries to reopen the economy. Cut number two.
To President Trump, what would your message be about balancing the economy versus making sure this no longer spreads?
We have to be smarter about it. You can't sacrifice human life to get the stock market up. That is a repugnant concept. Can you come up with a public health strategy that gets people back to work, younger people, recovered people, and starts the economy going? Yes. But that's the refinement. There are people who can go back to work. Younger people can go. People who are resolved can go back to work. But don't ask the American people to choose and say, well, the people who are going to pass away from this virus, they were old anyway. They were vulnerable anyway. We're just going to leave them aside.
Who's saying that? Nobody's saying that. New York stinks. I wonder if, Dawn, do you think all those prisoners are 6 feet apart as they make New York stinks a far superior product?
Absolutely not.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, I want you to listen to this ego power hungry jackass on his power trip, this pompous jerk. Cut number 10.
Let me be clear, if I could. My executive order is not a polite suggestion. It is an order. No one, and I mean no one, who can either do their job from home should be going to work in an office. We must have 100% compliance. This is about public health. And it's about people's lives, your employees' lives, their families' lives, and your life. We know it's not easy on you. It's not easy on your families. And frankly, I can assure you it's not easy on any of us or any of our families. This is truly, and in every sense of the word, an unprecedented time for our state. But we are unequivocally going to get through this, and we're going to get through this together as one New Jersey family, stronger than ever before.
New Jersey, it's an order, New Jersey. New Jersey, it's not a suggestion. It's an order. I'm ordering you, New Jersey. And rat on your friends and neighbors if they leave their house. Okay, Dawn, how are we doing today in New Jersey?
Good morning. We have 37 degrees. What a gorgeous, bright sky this morning. Dawn Stensland here is the only show news sponsored by IT Landis. So an alert. If you've traveled to New York or North Jersey recently, the Philadelphia Health Department says you need to self-quarantine for at least 2 weeks. So this message about widespread exposures from people in and around New York City started last night from the White House. And because New York City obviously is now the epicenter of the outbreak, Philadelphia being the closest big city, the same warnings are now here. So New Jersey is now the state with the second most cases of COVID-19 in the nation, mostly North Jersey, as we've said. But across our region, officials closed schools, shuttered businesses, leaving thousands of people out of work. Governor Phil Murphy was asked about President Donald Trump's comment that President Trump hopes America will be back to work by Easter. We've talked about that. But Governor Murphy says, I hope he's right. I'm all in when it's the right moment to responsibly begin to open up our economy and our society. There's a new fund, First Lady Tammy Murphy, unveiling the New Jersey Pandemic Relief Fund with a video featuring some of the state's biggest celebs, Bruce Springsteen, Jon Stewart, and, yes, Bon Jovi.
I'm just a poor farmer, but I worry that I'll be milking the cows. I don't want to get that coronavirus as I'm milking my cows.
The funds go toward fighting medical, social, and economic impact of COVID-19 on the state's most vulnerable. And we did report that spike in divorce cases nationwide with cooped up couples. Oprah speaking out saying that her longtime partner, Stedman Graham, was not taking COVID-19 seriously enough. So he's in the doghouse. Actually, it's a guest house, which is probably better and bigger than all of our houses.
I was going to say, yeah. Poor guy. poor Stedman. I hope he's okay.
What are gazillionaires to do? They're not quarantining together.
Right. Oh, poor guy. He's loving life over there. Probably has a Nintendo. So the divorce rate went up, you said, right?
Yes. All the divorce cases. So business is booming if you are a divorce attorney right now. So,
you know, Dawn, I predicted that. I said there's going to be more divorces than babies.
Well, I don't know. Well, we don't know yet. I mean, there's the Zioli baby boom. We know about that. But I'm talking about next, like Christmas 2020. If there's a baby boom or a New Year's 2021, that's when it would be, right?
Yeah, well, that's true. There could be the corona babies and then a lot of divorced parents splitting custody of the corona babies, right?
Absolutely. Hey, it's a beautiful sunny Friday, but you can't go for a walk on the beach everywhere. For example, Jersey Shore warnings, stay away. We've heard that for a week now. Seaside Heights, though, becomes the first Jersey Shore town to shut its beaches. So even for casual walks for year-round residents.
That's stupid. That's stupid. It makes no sense. It's stupid.
I found this when you were talking about the state of Delaware. So the mayor actually told people, even if you own a vacation home in the Ocean County town, stay away, the mayor says. So whether you're year-round or you own a home and pay all those taxes, nope. Stay away. I know. Daily Show News brought to you by IT Landis. I'll get to the forecast in just a second. Cooling, heating, plumbing, fuel delivery, IT Landis. It's here for you, dedicated with technicians that are ready to safely respond to all of your home comfort needs. IT Landis really can service and repair your equipment, deliver your fuel oil too. For all the deets and appointments, visit itlandis.com. So the NBC 10 First Alert forecast today, clear skies, a beautiful Friday, 60 degrees. Tomorrow, 63 degrees, but it's going to be a rainy start. But the afternoon looks nice, but again, you can't walk on the beach everywhere tomorrow afternoon. And then the weekend, Saturday, the lesser day, rainy on Saturday, 51 degrees. But then Sunday, we warm up to 70 degrees and a chance of showers. So the First Alert forecast brought to you by Mercedes Northeast Region. Your someday might just be today. More affordable models than ever before. That spring event, the perfect time to consider that Mercedes-Benz you've been dreaming of. Go to mbusa.com/springevent for all the inventory and offers or to schedule a test drive today. I'm Dawn, Zioli Show News, live always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Laura Trump is my guest next.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.